And we have three scriptures this morning. The first comes from Isaiah 1, verses 10 through 20. Jerusalem, your rulers and your people are like those of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen to what the Lord is saying to you. Pay attention to what our God is teaching you. He says, do you think I want all these sacrifices you keep offering to me? I have had more than enough of the sheep you burn as sacrifices and of the fat of your fine animals. I am tired of the blood of bulls and sheep and goats. Who asked you to bring me all this when you come to worship me? Who asked you to do this tramping around in my temple? It is useless to bring your offerings. I am disgusted with the smell of the incense you burn. I cannot stand your new moon festivals, your Sabbaths, and your religious gatherings. They are all corrupted by your sins. I hate your new moon festivals and holy days. They are a burden that I am tired of bearing. When you lift your hands in prayer, I will not look at you. No matter how much you pray, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves clean. Stop all this evil I see you doing. Yes, stop doing evil and learn to do right. See that justice is done. Help those who are oppressed. Give orphans their rights and defend widows. And now comes the promise in the midst of that. The Lord says, now let's settle the matter. You are stained red with sin, but I will wash you as clean as snow. Although your stains are deep red, you will be white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will eat the good things the land produces. But if you defy me, you are doomed to die. I, the Lord, have spoken. And from the New Testament, Luke 12, verses 13 through 21 and 32 through 34. And this is the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And our last scripture is from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and 13 and 14. So Paul writes to Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith. Rekindle the gift of God that is within you. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen.
Lord, we just come to you in this time of worship. We come to listen to your word, to understand your word, to let the word live in us and guide us in being your people in this place. Lord, we just open our hearts that you would speak to us in this time. In Christ's name, amen. Well, this is one of those times when I actually followed the lectionary passages. Many times I just, well, what would I like to talk about today? And this happened to be the lectionary passages for this week. And so I've been pondering these for some time. And the whole idea of thinking about where are our treasures in heaven. Although he is not a great theologian, Jim Carrey had some words that actually apply to this. When he said, I wish everybody could be rich and famous so they could discover that these don't bring you happiness. I think our lectionary passage calls us for to look at where our values are, what we pursue, what we gather and acquire as treasures. These scriptures challenge us to seek treasures made in heaven, rather than our earthly treasures. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As I reviewed the lectionary passages, I noted the connections from Isaiah, where God says, do you think I want all these sacrifices you keep offering me? I've had more than enough of the sheep you burn as sacrifices and the fat of your fine animals. I'm tired of the blood of bulls and sheep and goats. He does not want just a portion of our earthly goods, our worldly stuff that we have accumulated. He's interested in more than that. Stop all the evil that I see you doing. Stop doing evil and learn to do right. See that justice is done. Help those who are oppressed. Give orphans their rights, and defend widows. Use your heavenly treasures to make this a more just and respectful and loving world. As I was thinking about this, I thought back to the founding members of St. Andrew, who in their motto said, we are a people, not a place. And there were some, I understand, at the time that the building was built who said, I wonder if that building, that possession, is going to take away from our focus on heavenly treasures. We might still have that concern today. These words, there are some words in one of the statements of faith that Susan is going to be sharing with some of the new member in the new member class a little bit later. And as I was reading through her presentation yesterday, these words from the brief statement of faith adopted by the PCUSA in 1983 stood out to me, particularly in the week that we have had as a nation. This is from the brief statement of faith. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. It goes on to say, but we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator, ignoring God's commandments. We violate the image of God in others and ourselves. We accept lies as truth. We exploit neighbor and nature. and threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. These words remind us that we tend to rebel against God, seeking our own worldly desires, and fall short in accepting and sharing the love and community that God freely offers us as a people of faith. Now, as a people of great abundance, we get really nervous when we hear, sell all your possessions and give to the poor. That is not the American way, is it? It doesn't sound like what I have grown up listening to. The American way is to work hard, accumulate wealth, live well, retire young, enjoy the fruits of your labor, eat, drink, and be merry, and pass on your inheritance to the next generation. The goals of being a successful American don't match up very well with these passages as I listen to them. But rather than agonize over the challenge to sell all your possessions and give to the poor, although I believe it's a great part of our call, let's look at some other parts of the scripture. But God says to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures from themselves, but are not rich toward God. We can become very rich in our fame and our fortune and our home and our second home and our boat and our RV. But not rich toward God. To me, this seems to say, be careful about only storing up worldly treasures of stuff that you can't take with you. And that someone could come, don't store up those things that someone could come and take from you. Focus on being rich toward God. Focus on treasures made in heaven. These are often unseen treasures, such as seeking justice, helping those who are oppressed, giving orphans their rights, and defending widows. These can't be taken from us. And as I was thinking about this, the famous passage from Corinthians 13, the gift of love. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but don't have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. So it's not enough just to give away all your possessions. We must also have our heavenly treasures, the gift of love. So we work very hard to build up these earthly treasures. Many of us spend 20 or 30 or 40 year careers with hopes that these treasures will serve us in our retirement years. But as the scripture says, we can do this, but we might not be rich toward God. We live in a country of abundance, and we have so much for which we can be thankful in the opportunity to earn all of those wonderful things that serve us on this earth. And as we take advantage of those rich opportunities, we can acquire fame, financial wealth, status, and a lot of stuff. I went back and Googled, when was the first Sears and Roebuck catalog? It was the early 1900s. We were ordering stuff, Amazon Prime of the 1910s. It was a Sears and Roebuck catalog where we could gather all the stuff that we needed or might not have needed. And we certainly continue to do that today. Don't we make it so easy to keep gathering stuff? Amazon Prime. So God may be calling us to sell our possessions, to focus on becoming rich toward God, because our earthly stuff that we're striving to gather might be standing in the way of our discovering our heavenly treasures. Our neighbor just bought an RV that is about 50 feet long. I paced it off. It was 18 paces long, and it fills her entire driveway. And even she came over and said, "Kurt, I'm getting this, and I know it's huge, and it's going to destroy the entire view of the west end of Billings for you because it is so big." And as I thought about that, she came home from one of her trips, and it's in the driveway. And that became the metaphor for me. What worldly possessions stand in the way? I was going to bring it in here this morning and put it right across, you know, here, and it would fill up pretty much from here all the way to that wall. And we would have a hard time seeing the cross and seeing the things that are our heavenly treasures. Not that she can't see heavenly treasures through this RV, but does the image help? Some things stand in the way, and I think that might have been a part of our message of our scriptures to today. What earthly things are standing in the way of us enjoying the heavenly treasures freely given to us through Jesus Christ? And what are those? Well, the gift of the Holy Spirit would likely be at the top of the list of those heavenly treasures. Deep and abiding faith that is ours as we surrender our lives to God. Accepting the grace of God freely given through Jesus Christ. The grace of God is just, what a gift. Really? Are there worldly things more valuable than the grace of God that is available to us? The forgiveness of sins paid for in advance by the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. The beauty of this beautiful world, what a gift. The gift of fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. The gifts of love of family and friends. God's unlimited compassion to share with those less fortunate. God's direction as we lose our way. God's hand as we stumble. God's joy as we accept gifts freely offered. God's strength to be strong in the midst of strife and illness. God's peace in the midst of turmoil in our homes, our nation, and our world. God's hope when the future looks so bleak. God's love in the midst of loneliness and separation. And God's grace in the midst of our foolishness and folly and mistakes and missteps and wanderings. Are these gifts not so much more amazing than the stuff that we order on Amazon Prime? All the other worldly things that we're pursuing. These are some of the treasures that I believe come from being rich toward God. And I believe these are the treasures that God wants us to give away. Just as he calls us to be generous in sharing our earthly possessions, sell all your possessions, I think God is more interested in us giving away our heavenly treasures, in sharing our heavenly treasures with others. As you know, I've been at camp for the past month, and this is a great time to think about treasures in heaven. As you know, Westminster Spires is a very rustic camp. When people contact me about renting the camp for a family reunion or a wedding, the first question I ask is, have you visited the camp? This is not a place that is rich in earthly possessions. I tend to apologize for the camp's lack of worldly riches. But I know in the family reunions and wedding parties and campers that stay at the camp find many heavenly treasures in the beauty of the place, the opportunity to gather together in Christ's name, to celebrate friendships and fellowship, to find deep peace living in God's beautiful presence, despite not having a swimming pool or a hot tub or private bathrooms or boutique linens on the bunks. The camp offers other treasures, other kinds of riches. A few stories quickly from campers. And we do an elementary camp, which is young people entering third through fifth grade, junior high, sixth through eighth, and senior high, 9 through 12. This is from a third grader on his first overnight away from home. Each night, as we're getting into bed, everybody shares their high point, their low point, and their God moment of the day. This one came from a third grader who I'm sure was really quite scared about leaving home. On the first night, his high point was meeting a new friend who hoped to make the camp experience feel more safe and friendly. He said, "I met him, and I knew I would like him even before I met him." Isn't that not a heavenly treasure? I said, that's my God moment for the day, right there. That's good enough for me. I love the openness and trust that he exhibited in this statement. Second story involves an elementary camper that had been at camp last year, and she was only able to come to camp. A lot of our kids come from families that don't have a lot of extra financial funds. And she said, when I overheard her talking to a friend, "When I got the letter that I was given a scholarship so I could come back to camp, I cried." Many of us have so much abundance, we probably forget what it was like to be in that position of being so moved that when you get that kind of a gift, you weep. That was a God moment. And that was a heavenly treasure. On the first night of junior high camp, most of the returning campers said their high point was meeting friends that they had made at camp last year. The renewal of friendships and a chance to live in Christian community is an amazing treasure in heaven. And I love this story from a girl who shared. She said, "I don't make friends at school very easily." She went on to say, "My mother told me that she was the same way when she was growing up, that she did not make friends easily. But when she went away to camp, she found many new friends." On the first night of camp, this girl shared this story, adding that her mother was right. She had already made many new friends on the first day of camp. This was something very special and blessed to be living in this Christian community where new friends were made a whole lot more easily. There was one young man who he was really smitten with this girl who was sitting next to him and in his small group, and he was really taken with her, and he said, "We even got to hold hands." Well, as it turned out, is when the group prayed at the end of their time together, they held hands. So he did hold her hand, but that was a very special moment for him. And then he said, "And she let me read off her Bible." And I said, "She's a keeper." Yeah. The senior high campers, we go into the assisted living center and have been doing this for a number of years. for a little mission project, and all we do is go in and the campers sing songs, camp songs, for about a half an hour to the folks who are living there, and it's really a special time for both the campers who, oh, really? I need to go and sing to these people and talk to them? What in the world am I going to say? And so, of course, we prep them a bit with that. But this year was a very special time for everybody. And that evening, one of the campers at the end of the day said, my high point of the day was getting to talk to Erica again. He said, I talked to her 3 years ago when we went there. And she used to live in France, and we had a wonderful talk about life. And I got to see her again, and my high point was talking to Erica again. Oh, is that not a treasure made in heaven? It's not a possession. It is God working in our lives. When two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. When people together gather together in the presence of the Holy Spirit, treasures in heaven are received in abundance. In the evening time of worship, our counselors share their testimonials, their own life testimonials, their stories of how God has worked or is working in their lives. How many of you would be comfortable coming up and sharing your testimonial at camp? It's not something that everyone is comfortable with, but we really work with these young people, and they do an amazing job. One counselor shared a suggestion for the different ways that we might look at life. When our mindset is on gathering and acquiring worldly possessions, we may think, do what makes you happy. And that's kind of a mantra that we happen to have in this abundant country. She went on to suggest that we change this to do what makes you holy. And I think that's what these scriptures are calling us. Do what makes you holy. Look for heavenly treasures rather than do what makes you happy, looking for worldly possessions. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world looking for worldly things, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, discerning what is the will of God. When we are most intent on gathering worldly possessions, we are being conformed to this world, seeking wealth and fame and stuff. These words from Romans remind us to look for the will of God. So for Keith, what is the takeaway from this? What worldly treasures are you gathering and acquiring that may be standing in the way of your accepting and sharing treasures made in heaven? What is standing in the way of your seeing and accepting the amazing treasures in heaven that are freely given to each of us by God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit? Treasures that are far more valuable to us than any worldly stuff we might desire. Share the treasures of heaven, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. We can see over this 50-foot RV that's standing in the way between us and the cross, because we know what's on the other side is far, far greater. And we are blessed that we have come to know those treasures and to continue to seek them. You know, I love the words of Steve Garness Holmes, and here are his thoughts based on the scripture that Susan read from 2 Timothy. I read it again. I am reminded of your sincere faith, Rekindle the gift of God that is within you. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. He goes on to say, your faith is not a strength or accomplishment, a possession or a quality of yours at all. It is a gift from God. In your surrender to the love of the beloved whose heart beats in yours, you are given God's own love for God and for the world. Your faith is divine love alive in you. Be thankful. Guard this treasure. You don't need to protect it. It can face the worst of the world. Don't hoard it or hide it, but attend to it. Care for it. Don't abuse it or forget it or take it for granted. Water the plant and give it light. Let it live in you strong and clear. Even when your faith is a mystery, all darkness and struggle, it is still a gift. God's love in you for your sake, for the sake of the world. Let the loving one who is in you help you guard this treasure with humble joy and gratitude and give it away all the time. Amen.